That is. Amen. Well, I made a wrong announcement. Master Clubs Regionals is April 24th, not May 24th. In case you were putting that in your calendar, it is coming up. So that's why young people are practicing and everything. So I do apologize for that. Proverbs 16 and verse 33, we read three verses. And I'm sure that several of our high schoolers in our Christian school recognize one of those verses. I did preach about this in chapel about a month ago. And this isn't on? All right. That means it's been on all the time we were between services. Anyway, I did preach about this in our high school chapel, 9th through 12th grade chapel. And several people suggested that I preach on it in church. And so I wanted to do that today, but I've kind of changed a few things and added some things for a morning service. But I want you to listen carefully. I really do. The message could really be a help. But it's a little different. It's kind of a different. Normally I give all these different points and you can write points down. I don't have a lot of points, but I have a major truth that I want to share with you this morning that I think will be a very big help to you if you will listen carefully. And I think God will use it to help you. And so I pray that you'll do that. Father, bless the preaching. Thank you for the music. Thank you for everyone who's here, and help us to realize no one is here by accident. We're all here because you're God and because you chose for us to be here. And I pray that you will work in our hearts and our lives and speak to us the way that you can, Lord. And the result being that our lives are different because of today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In Jonah chapter 1 and verse 7, of course, we know the story of Jonah and how that Jonah had backslidden. God told him to go preach in Nineveh, and Jonah said, you know, I don't really want to do that. And so he thought he could get away from God. Let me tell you this, you can't run away from God. God knows where you are. He always knows where you are. The Bible says his eyes are in every place. He can see you. And I don't care how you try to hide from God, you're not going to get away with it. And so Jonah is there fleeing from the presence of the Lord, the Bible says. By the way, why would you want to be away from the presence of the Lord? As Carol just so wonderfully sang, he's my friend. Amen. I would think you'd want to be in the Lord's presence all the time, especially when you need a friend. But Jonah decides he's going to do his own thing. And so he gets away from the presence of God. And you know the story how that he's out in the middle of the water and the storm rages. So the men are trying to find out why this has happened and why this storm has hit and why they're all going to drown. And so they cast lots, the Bible says in verse 7. And in casting of lots, now lots are like little pebbles. And maybe a little chunk of wood or something like that or something. And there's a mark on those. They would mark them somehow so that everybody, maybe they would have several with a person's number or somehow designating their name. And in some way they would cast those lots and those lots would fall. And the one that lands a certain way, however it's determined, determines then who it is that is the guilty party. And in that case, Jonah chapter 1 and verse 7, that pebble, that lot, that little piece of wood indicated that Jonah was the guilty party. And sure enough, he is. And they throw him out in the water. And of course, you know, the story of the whale and everything. And Acts chapter 1, we have the same kind of story. And several other places in the Bible. The Bible talks about lots being cast. And in Acts chapter 1, we read about Justus and Matthias. Of course, Judas has betrayed the Lord. He was never saved. I say he was never saved. And he was a wicked man from the beginning. He had wrong motives all the time he followed the Lord. But Judas has killed himself, and they need another disciple to make up the 12. And so they try to decide between two, Justus and Matthias, and the Bible says they cast lots. And again, the idea, perhaps there was maybe it was like a flat chunk of wood, and on one side they put a J for Justus, and on the other side they put an M for Matthias, and maybe they flipped it like a coin. I don't know, because that is the idea of casting lots. They cast the lot, and it came up with the M on the lot, or a number for him, or however they did it. And the lot then indicated that Matthias would be the next disciple. And again, They cast lots. And the Bible says in Proverbs 16, verse 33, probably a verse you've never heard preached on unless you happen to be in that high school chapel, and that is the lot is cast into the lap. And so the lot, whatever, again, it's all different forms depending on what they're doing. The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. And I read that one day and I thought, wow. In other words, when these lots are cast, God turns that thing whichever way He chooses to turn it. And I got real excited about that. Now, you might think of a lot as picking a number out of a jar. We might think of lots as drawing straws to determine a decision. I'm sure many of us have done that before. Maybe it's we're trying to decide who's going to go get the food or something like that. And we do rock, paper, scissors, you know, or something like that. Or you flip a coin or you have little spinners, you know, and little pop-o-matic things or rolling dice and stuff like that. Again, the whole idea there is that a lot is cast, and it is cast into the lap, and God Almighty, listen to me now, God Almighty reaches down there and turns it however He will. Now, I got excited when I read that. You say, I'm not real excited about it yet. You will be. Because I got to thinking about something that is one of my pet peeves. I hate to hear, especially Christians, say, good luck. Because the title of the message this morning is, there is no such thing as luck. There is absolutely no such thing. I'm not mad at you if you do. And certainly our basketball games, our Christian school, I coach our varsity and our basketball teams. And just about every coach, every referee, you know, they all say good luck. And I say, You know, I say, well, praise the Lord or something like that. But I never say good luck because I don't believe in it. And if I did believe in it, I don't want them to have it. If there really was such a thing as luck, I certainly don't want the other team to have it. Amen? But I don't believe in it. And I don't think there's any such thing as good luck or bad luck, either way. Because my Bible says that when the lot's cast, the whole disposing is of the Lord. He turns it however He will. And so Jonah was found out. Achan earlier was found out in the Old Testament. Justice and Matthias, who's going to represent us? Matthias, it's God's will, because God was involved in making sure that that happened. A little thing like a lot. There's no such thing as luck. Brother Korea, missionary to Ireland, he enjoyed coming to our men's prayer time, and we've been on a roll about luck now for the last couple of years. And Brother Korea, he started bringing, you know, he'd get me a lucky penny to give me a hard time. I've got a little jar that has a lucky penny in it. Somebody gave me a horseshoe one time, so it would be lucky. And just recently, Brother Korea sent me, all the way from Ireland, he sent me a four-leaf clover pillow. And he said, good luck, preacher. And all of that because we make fun of the idea that there's, you know, folks, I got news for you. There is a God in heaven that is watching over you. There is a God in heaven that is moving you. There is a God in heaven who is guiding you. And everything that happens in our lives is not because of luck, good or bad. It is all because there is a God in heaven who cares enough to make the lot go the way He wants it to go. To make the weather do what He wants it to do. To make our lives go in the direction where He wants us to be, when He wants us to be there, so that He can do whatever He wants to do with us. The lot, a little pebble. And if God cares about a little pebble, how much more the things of our lives, where a God in heaven is watching over us. Next time somebody says, good luck, you just think about that little lot and how God Almighty is in control of whichever way it falls and how it turns. Every minute detail, if you can imagine, every little detail. You say, you mean God cares about every little detail in my life down to every second? Oh yeah, God cares about the oxygen that you breathe. Because He makes sure that we have oxygen. Hey, if God would make sure that trees give off oxygen and whatever we give off, the carbon dioxide, that's what the trees get, and the trees receive that and then they give off oxygen and there's enough for you and me, you think God cares about your life? If God Almighty will put us in the perfect place in reference to the sun, where we neither freeze to death, though we here in Michigan think it gets cold, and we don't burn up. God cares about the minute detail of the tilt of the earth. Everything about it. God is concerned about every little detail. And there's enough water. There's enough food to sustain us. And somebody says, well, what about global warming? God warms and cools this earth however God sees fit. We have nothing to worry about as far as that is. God's in control of all of that. The idea that mankind could change the atmosphere is a joke. But there's no such thing as luck. You're here today not because of luck. You're here today because of God. You're here today because God, in His amazing way, He controls every aspect of what goes on. You say, well, I made this decision. Yeah, but God put you in a place where you could make that decision. You say, well, I did this. And yes, you probably did that. But God in heaven watches and He says, yeah, but if you hadn't been put where you are, you wouldn't have. Oh, let me tell you something, folks. There's no such thing as luck. Let me give you some illustrations of this in my own life. April 18th, 1958, I was born. And yes, you can figure that out and all that kind of stuff. The main thing you need to know about that is my birthday's coming up. But the truth of the matter is, when I was born, I had a condition called Hyland's membrane. And that happened often in those days. And with that condition of Hyland's membrane, when I was born, they had to tell my mother that, your son has Hyland's membrane. Basically, the blood vessels in the lungs are not yet fully formed. And I was not able to breathe on my own, and I had to be put in an incubator. They said, if he lives these 72 hours, then he'll make it. Everything will be all right. But we don't know that he will, and we don't think that he will. We don't think he's going to be able to. But if he makes it for 72 hours, he will be a real fighter, which I am, by the way, and he'll live. And some of you sit there wondering, what happened? Ask somebody later on. I don't have time to explain it all to you. But the truth of the matter is, 72 hours, they said, but listen to me, there's a God in heaven that was watching over all that. Because that same year and that same period, John F. Kennedy, the President of the United States, had a son in 1963 who had the same condition. They gave him 72 hours to live, and he died. And I often look back at that and I think, wow, you know, God is really in control of every little thing. Hey, God knew about the vessels in my lungs. God knew because my mother's water broke months before it was supposed to. God knew all about all of that. And God knew that I was going to be in trouble when I was born. And God knew that I'd have to go in an incubator. And God knew that other little babies would. But God said, okay, when it comes to the lot, God said, I'll decide. I'll decide. It's no accident. It's no, wow, look what the doctors did. It's what God did. Palm Sunday, 1965. The Palm Sunday tornado, which came through this county, also came through Grant County, where I lived in Indiana. And on Palm Sunday, 1965, it was Sunday night when the tornado hit our house and our area. And I can very clearly remember that tornado. I was in first grade, and I remember my dad grabbing me as the lights went out. I remember my dad grabbing me and taking me into the utility room of our house because our house did not have a basement. And houses without a basement, if they are in the direct path of a tornado, most of the time there are no survivors. And Dad took us into the only place he could think of. He grabbed me and my sister, and he took us there into the utility room of our house as that tornado was bearing down on our house. And we lived in a little neighborhood I'm going to say at that time, probably 20, 25 houses in that neighborhood. And there was a woods to the south or to the southwest of our house. And that tornado literally, as I saw in the pictures later on from the damage and everything, that tornado was making a direct path that would go through our neighborhood and would hit our house. I mean, it was a perfect straight path. But for some reason, it turned. Now stay with me now. And I wish I had the pictures. I need to get those pictures. I have seen the pictures of the damage. We actually went down in the woods and you could see it back in those days. We could follow the path of that tornado. That tornado headed straight for our house. It all of a sudden turned. I mean, it turned like tornadoes don't turn. It made a 90-degree turn and went through over here, which took out the electrical substation and went right on the edge of the VA hospital. Then it did a 90-degree back to the original path and went on. Now, you know, you say, preacher, boy, you sure were lucky. Luck had nothing to do with it. You know what I see in my mind, and I go back in my mind and I see this, I see God's angel standing there. I see God's angel standing there like the guard of the Garden of Eden after the sin of Adam and Eve. And that guard is saying, hey, you got to go away from here. You're not going there. I've got a prophet there. I've got a man of God. He's going to grow up. He's going to preach the word of God. And I'm going to protect him. And that thing went around our addition and went right back to the original path and kept right on going. 100 people died that night in just our area. I'm telling you, there's no such thing as luck. No such thing as luck. August 20th, 1974. You've heard stories about my wife and I and how we met, and I'm just absolutely thrilled that we did. But it's a miracle that we ever met. It's a miracle that we met. We lived 45 minutes apart. We met at a place that was 45 minutes from me and 45 minutes from her. I lived here. She lived here. We met here. Shouldn't have happened. There's no way that it does happen. And we met at a spot that had we not met when we met, we wouldn't have met. Isn't that deep? I told you I'd help you out and make it real simple. You have to understand something. We met, I was driving, she was walking. And we were at exactly that spot. I had a guy with me. In fact, we just talked about all of this. We just went through this last summer for our 35th anniversary of the day we met. We still celebrate those things, by the way. When you're having fun, you do. You look for any excuse to celebrate. And some of you are saying, oh, now you got me in trouble. You need to be in trouble, buddy. If you're not happy and excited in your marriage, you need to get happy real quick and make it happy. But anyway, we were talking about this. I had this guy with me. In fact, I'd almost forgotten about this guy. I don't know his name. I don't know why he was there. He was younger than me, and he had a cast on his arm. We just call him Cast. I don't know his name. I don't know anything about him. Don't know why he was there, where he came from. I assume from his mom. I have no clue where the guy came from. We just called him Cast. I think that's what I called him then. I don't think I knew his name. Don't know why he was there, but he was sitting next to me in my bad 69 Camaro. He says to me, and I was a very shy person back then. I know you don't believe that, but I really was. But he says to me back then, he says, I dare you to say something to her. Well, I was in shock just seeing her. It was like. And he said, I did. Now, look, folks, you have to understand, had Cast, whoever he is, not been there, I'm not so sure I would have said anything. I'm not sure. Because back then, especially, I wasn't a preacher. I was the opposite. But at that exact moment, he says, I dare you. Yeah, you think you're bad. You know how you do. Those little guys with the older guys. And he tormented me. And so I stopped and I said something. At that exact moment that it had to be. You know what? I've often thought, and we, like I say, we went back there. We actually took pictures of the exact spot where we met. because it's amazing. She was headed up to her campground. We were camping, and our campground was probably a half a mile to a mile away from where she was. There's no way we would have met any other way. I just happened to be driving through that parking lot as she was walking up the path. And once she got on that path, I wouldn't have seen her. And I'm just saying, you know, it is amazing at that exact moment. What if, how many things had to happen? Cast had to be there, whoever he is. He had to be there. If it had been raining, I wouldn't have gone. If I had to work, you know, what all happened? I'd love to look back. I wish I could know. And I think when we get to heaven, we'll find out that God, you know, whatever. Maybe I was scheduled to work and my work got canceled just so we could meet. Have you ever thought about how you met your spouse? Have you ever thought about how it came together? Do you know that most of the time, it's just like this? It's not luck. It's God. That's why I preach to our young people, hey, listen to God. Follow God. Let Him lead you. Let Him lead wherever He wants you to go. Because if He cares about a little pebble, He really cares about you and your life. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. Summer of 1976. My wife and I were engaged. We would be married in October of that same year. And we just happened to be driving past the 4-H fairgrounds in Marion, Indiana. Once we got married, we knew we were going to live in Marion. But I didn't grow up in church. The only church we had gone to was her church. We had no idea where we would go to church in Marion. Could have been any church. We didn't know. And we just happened to drive past the 4-H fairgrounds. I had never attended the 4-H fair. I just didn't grow up doing that. Sometimes there'd be a little fair come to town. We'd go to that. But I had never been to the 4-H fair. And she said something to me like, you know, maybe we can go look at the animals here at the 4-H fair. And so I said, you know, I don't like crowds. I don't really want to go. She said, well, could we go see? And of course, I've always done anything she wants me to do. I said, sure, let's go. And we parked there at the fairgrounds, and of course they have all the rides and everything, and we weren't interested in that. We were going to go all the way back and look at the animals and everything. But off to my right, there was a group of Christians, there was a church there, and they were showing a film called The Burning Hell. And it was over here to my right, and we were both already saved, but you couldn't tell. We had not grown. We were pretty weak as Christians, especially me. And we walked on, and I said, you know, I kind of made some kind of comment. I said, look at those people. And of course, they look like Christians. I mean, they're looking sharp, you know. And I'm looking over there, and I said, well, you know, I don't really want to take the time, but nobody seemed to be going into their tent. And I said, you know, I said, it would be nice, but you know, let's just go on. And so we started to walk on. And right next to that church's tent, there was a dunk tank. And in that dunk tank was a loudmouth jester kind of a guy, like they do, like a clown. And he was, you know, he was calling out to everybody, hey, you know, you're a weakling, you know, because he's trying to get your money. And then you try to dunk him. And he's yelling out, and all of a sudden he started making fun of the church. Just like that. He just started making, yeah, look at those Christian people over there. Ha ha. And he started making fun of them. And I looked in his eyes, and I could see the scornfulness. And I said, you know what, let's just go in and watch that film. You know, just a simple little thing like that. He's making fun of the Christians. I wasn't much of a Christian, but I didn't like what he was saying. And I said, let's go in that tent. Oh yeah, we watched the film, The Burning Hell. Oh yeah, we ended up, after we got married, we went to that church. God called me to preach in that church. God grew me up in that church. I'm just saying, there's no such thing as luck, folks. God had that all planned. We'd have walked right by had that guy not. And you know, that guy probably felt pretty good about cutting down those Christians. He didn't know that he was getting a guy in position to be called to preach. He had no idea of that. But God knew. Are you starting to think about some things in your own life that happened? Some things that maybe you said, oh, that sure was lucky. Oh, you know, that sure worked out. I'm thinking of bus kids that you weren't home, but then you were home, and all of a sudden the bus captain came by and said, hey, wouldn't you like to come to our church? I'm thinking of all kinds of ways that God has worked to put you where He wants to put you. I'm reminded of the modular that we were moving in that weighed 20 tons at least, And we slid in one half of a modular for our church in Bern, Indiana. And we were sliding the second part of the modular in. And I remember as myself and my administrator and one of my deacons, we were getting ready to climb, go under there and jack that up, move those things around, move the blocks around. I remember my administrator saying, he was grabbing a railroad tie, and I said to him, I said, what are you doing? He said, well, I don't know. I just feel like I need to put this railroad tie under here as a safety. I said, man, we've been doing this for days now. I said, you've never done it before? He said, I don't know. And I can still see my deacon kicking a block out from under that, and the jack was crooked, and I still see it falling. And honestly, all three of us should have been killed that day. But that railroad tie that the administrator put caught about that much on the bottom of that modular and kept it high enough so we could get out from under it. I'm just saying, you know what? If God cares about a little pebble, if God cares how the numbers come up, if the whole disposing is of the Lord, listen to me, there's no accidents, there's no luck. Hurricanes, snowstorms, earthquakes, God's in control of all of that. Can you imagine all the wrecks you've missed? Well, I don't know about those. Maybe when we get to heaven, you'll see them all. I'm talking about the reason that the person pulled out in front of you and they were in a big hurry and then they went six. You know what I'm talking about? And you said, oh, I can't believe they got in front of me. I just can't stand this. And just a few miles down the road, a semi ran through a stop sign. And that would have been you in his path. Are you listening? I know. You know, I get upset too sometimes. Right, listen to me now. But God's in control of this thing. You know, all the things. How about the diseases that you didn't get? Huh? I mean, come on, be honest. You know, when's the last time you said, thank you, Lord, that I don't have this? And yet, somebody that had it walked right by you and sneezed all over you. Yeah. Yeah. Or somebody coughed. And then they shook your hand. So I'll never shake hands again. Listen to me. I'm going to tell you, God is in control of this thing. Actually, you breathed it in. You breathed in some deadly disease. But God knows about all that. If God, hey, you take those lots and you shake them up and you cast them in your lap and you pick out one. If God's in control of that, don't you suppose He could control your life? Think about the accidents that did not happen. I'm talking about the ones that didn't happen. You know, the question is this. What had to happen to bring you to this point? What had to take place? I mean, I look back and I see so many things, and I just gave you a few things. I'm talking about if one little thing is different, it never happens. What had to happen to bring you to this point? Yes, we make choices, but God leads us to where we can make that choice. The whole disposing is of the Lord. No such thing as luck. You think about your situation. You think about who your parents are. God knows what He's doing. You think about where you were born. God knows what He's doing. Think about your circumstances, whether they're good or whether they're bad. Hey, listen to me. God knows what He's doing. And God is in control of your life. Hey, Jonah wasn't just lucky that a whale came along. Come on, he's thrown out into a raging sea, and the whale swallows him. Some people say the whale was punishment. No, the whale saved his life. Can you imagine? I mean, seriously, try to imagine how that all happened. Whew, sure was lucky. I don't know, my wife and I have been to Hawaii and we've watched for whales, and there's a lot of times you don't see whales. And we've looked and looked and looked and looked and stared and stared and stared. But that whale just happened to come along. The Bible says God prepared it. You know what? What's that mean? That means from the time that whale was a little tadpole. Well, I don't know if that really happens. But from the time that whale was just a little guppy, God started teaching it. You're going to swallow a Baptist preacher. you're going to save a Baptist preacher's life. And it started getting bigger and bigger and said, yes, sir. Well, I don't know if a Finn can do that or not, but, you know, and I'm raising you up just to do that one thing. Boy, that's so good. That is so good. Yeah, Jonah wasn't lucky. God prepared the fish to swallow him. What all is God preparing so that you will be where you need to be when that time comes? What all? I get so excited when I think about teenagers. That's why, you know, teenager, I love you so much. And some of you get that hard look sometimes. I'm so excited about what God has for you. I'm so excited about how God is moving here and moving there and preparing you for the day that you come down this aisle and you get married, or you come down this platform and you get your diploma, or you at a Bible college get your diploma, or you find out what God wants you to do with your life and you start to do it. How exciting that is. You say, well, I just thought it was circumstance. No, no, there's no such thing. It's a God in heaven who's putting everything together for your life. You ever thought about Joseph? I'm just about done. You ever thought about Joseph? You know, Joseph is an amazing story. And you know, you look at Joseph and say, boy, that guy, I'll tell you what, he was sure born lucky. I mean, here's Joseph. Joseph, first of all, God gives him dreams and he sees the future and he tells his brothers that he's going to rule over them and his dad. I mean, you say, well, that wasn't very smart. Well, but it was the truth. And I'll be honest with you, it doesn't seem very smart. And as you read it, you say, Joseph, don't tell them that. Joseph, they're not going to appreciate you at all. They're going to be upset with you. And sure enough, they were. But have you ever thought about the story of Joseph? You know, his brothers go out to feed and take care of the sheep. And Joseph stays home. Why? Because Daddy is afraid for Joseph. And Daddy loves Joseph. He makes Joseph the coat of many colors. And he prefers Joseph. Now, I don't think parents ought to do that. But his daddy did that. And you know, Joseph is favored, and so all the other brothers are out there where the wild animals are. They're out there where the thieves are. They're out there taking care of the sheep. Joseph, you stay home here where I can watch you. You and Benjamin, you stay here. You play and you do all these. You know, I don't want you going out there. Why in the world did Jacob send him to his brethren? You ever thought about it? You ought to think about it. Because it doesn't make a bit of sense. You know, I'm sure Jacob probably said several times, what am I thinking? That's Joseph. I could send a servant. I could send anyone else. Why am I sending Joseph? Yeah. You ever think how the brethren were supposed to be in Shechem? But they weren't. Instead, they left Shechem and they went to Dothan. Why? Why did they go there? Why did they go? Why? They were supposed to be in one place, but they went to another place. Why? And Joseph just happens to go to Dothan. And you know what? Joseph arrives just as they're thinking about Joseph. In other words, here it is. They're all sitting around and they're all talking, okay? And they're all talking about Joseph. Yeah, you know, Joseph. You ever do this with your own brothers and sisters? You know, one of them gets all the toys. One of them's favored. You know what I'm talking about? And you're all sitting around saying, yeah, that they love them more than they do them. That's what they're doing. And they're talking about that right now. And they're talking, yeah, Joseph, he's got his coat of many colors. Dad's never made me a coat of many colors. Dad's never done that for me. Why does he favor Joseph? You know what? And one of them, you know what? I don't really like Joseph. Another brother finally says, I hate him. They say, yeah. Yeah, and if he were here, and guess who shows up? There's Joseph. Hey, brothers! And you know what? What timing is that? Just as they're thinking about him. And they throw him into a pit. They want to kill him. But Reuben says, you're not going to kill him. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever thought about why the Ishmaelites just happen to come by when they do? Huh? And why, when Ishmaelites usually buy food, clothing, other kinds of items, building materials and all that, why did they just happen to be buying slaves at that time? Are y'all listening to me? Okay, think about it. Why were they buying slaves? Why then? Why there? Uh-huh. How is it that Reuben was gone when the Ishmaelites came by? because Reuben would never have allowed that to take place. And so the brothers sell Joseph to the Ishmaelites just the way God planned it. You ever feel like somebody sold you to the Ishmaelites? Did you ever think it might be God's will? Hello? Do you ever feel like you're in the pit? Did you ever think it might be God's will? I mean, if God's going to turn that little piece of wood, that little chunk to the certain place it's going to turn, do you suppose God can turn events in your life whereby you end up in a pit? Huh? Then why are you griping? Then why are you so upset? Well, he sold me to the Ishmaelites. Okay, but did you ever think that maybe that was God's plan all along? Because it sure was lucky that they showed up when they did. You ever think about why he wasn't sold along the way? Why did Joseph have to go to Egypt? Of course, we all know the story now, don't we? We all know that Joseph had to go to Egypt because God was going to make Egypt the world power during a famine. And Joseph was going to be in control of all of it. But what if those Ishmaelites would have sold Joseph along the way? You know what? They couldn't. Do you know why? Because God was in control. Huh? Well, I don't want to go to Egypt. Uh-huh. I understand that. But you know what? There's a God in heaven that might want you there. There's a God in heaven that might want you in Potiphar's house. Oh, wait a minute, preacher. You don't understand. Potiphar's house. I mean, hey, have you ever wondered why did Potiphar buy Joseph? Did God know that Potiphar's wife was wicked and vile and that Potiphar's wife would attempt immorality with Joseph, but Joseph would say, whoa, I will not do this against my God. Yeah. And Joseph would be thrown in prison unjustly. You say, I don't think it's fair. I don't want to be in the pit. I don't want to be in Potiphar's house, and I certainly don't want to be in prison. But have you ever thought that maybe you're just doing right all the way, all along, that maybe God has a plan? Why did Joseph have to go to prison? Another good question is, why did a butler and a baker have to go to prison too? Do you understand all of God's working? And I'd love to get into all the detail because there's a lot of detail. But a butler and a baker are accused of trying to kill the king. And a butler and a baker go to prison. And here's Joseph with the butler and the baker. And they have dreams. And Joseph tells them their dreams because Joseph walks with God. You say, boy, sure is lucky. Well, it wasn't very lucky for the baker. Because he died. And the butler lived. And Joseph said, don't forget me. Hey, you ever wonder why the butler forgot him? Until the right time. Why did Pharaoh dream his dream? And all of a sudden then the butler remembers. Oh yeah, there was a guy in prison. He'll tell you your dream. Yeah. And Joseph becomes literally the master of Egypt. And God did it all. And if you break one link to that chain, everything changes. Do you know that in your life, there's links just like that where God has worked? God saved you from a tornado too. God took away some health problem you had too. Do you know how many of us have had cancer and didn't even know it? Do you understand how many of us have had some sort of a life-threatening disease, had no idea, and God just, you don't have time for that right now. I'm just saying this, that God, if he controls a little thing like a lot, a little pebble, and if he turns it whichever way he wants, don't you think he has a say in everything that happens in our lives? Because see, Joseph had to be raised up to the power that he had in Egypt so that he could bring all of his family to Egypt to literally save their lives so they could become slaves to the Egyptians. so God could deliver them from slavery, so that they could observe the Passover, so that we could see the blood. And all of that. And to God, it's just like, whoop, make that turn this way. Oh, going to make that turn this way. Heads or tails? God says heads. It's going to be heads. Amen. God says, this is how this is going. This is how this is going. This is how this is going. Family came to this church years ago and moved to Louisiana. Why? I don't know why anybody moves to Louisiana. Honestly, I really don't. God knew, because Brother Raymond would be on his knees praying for a wife. And that family in Louisiana, all the way in Louisiana, that family introduced Justin, Brother Justin Raymond, to his wife Angel from Louisiana. Had they not gone to Louisiana, he never would have met Angel in Louisiana, and God made that happen. People said, why did you have to go to Louisiana? They didn't have any idea. Who's the guy sitting with me when I meet my wife? I don't have the slightest idea. Why'd you folks go to Louisiana? We don't know. They know now. I hired Becky Hutchins here. I didn't have any idea. We needed a teacher. We hired her here to be a teacher. I didn't know she was going to marry Brett. We didn't put all that together. But God does put all that together. My secretary in Shreveport, Louisiana, married a guy who I didn't have a clue who he was when I went to Shreveport, Louisiana. And he was a student at Hiles Anderson College, and he finished up, and he knew my brother-in-law, Kevin, and he said, I want to come down to Shreveport to just work with you. I know you don't have a position open. I just want to come down there. The guy, we bought a bus. He drove the bus down there, drove it all those miles down to Shreveport. As soon as he got in our parking lot, he backed the bus up, hit one of our big lights, knocked it over, busted it into pieces. And he ended up marrying the secretary in Shreveport, Louisiana. I saw him just recently, and I said, how y'all doing? They said, oh, we're so happy. And what if just one thing goes wrong? What if that light doesn't break? No, but I'm just about done. God, listen to me. God is in the lot. And that's I really want you to get this. Every little thing is important. God's always on time. Do you understand? He's always on time. Caesar's taxing that brought Jesus to Bethlehem. Are you listening? I mean, listen to me. It was just at the right time. One day Caesar said, hey, I need to have a tax. Wow, Caesar, that really worked out. Boy, you are really smart. And he said, but I don't know why I'm doing it. He might have been eating cookies and milk, and all of a sudden just God said, you're going to tax people. He said, click, and it broke off and sunk to the bottom of the milk. I mean, I'm just telling you this. It's amazing how God works. And Caesar says there will be a taxing, and everybody has to go to their city. And there's Joseph and Mary going to Bethlehem. Isn't it lucky that Jesus was born in Bethlehem? Oh, how many things that we don't even have recorded that took place. There's no such thing as luck. What's that mean? That means it's time for you and I to trust the Lord. We need to trust the Lord. Why? Hey, if you understand this lot, if you understand that little pebble, why would you worry about anything? Why would you be worried about something today? Why would you be angry over some circumstance? Trust Him. Trust Him. Just keep moving forward for Jesus. Keep following the path. He's making everything happen so you can be where you need to be, so you can do whatever you need to do. Knowing if God's going to control the lot, He's going to control everything in my life. There is no such thing as luck. It's a God who controls and cares about everything. Let me close with John chapter 6. John 6. I want you to see something. I'm just about, honestly, we're going to close with this. John 6 and verse 44. Look what it says. And I love this. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. And I will raise him up at the last day. Notice that? No man can come to me. What is this? The Father which has sent me, draw him. Have you ever seen a little child, and a little child, you try, I'm always wanting to shake hands with little kids and everything, and sometimes they'll get like this, you know, and they won't come near. And you've tried that before, some of you grandparents and everything, and that little child stays back, and they're looking at you real funny, and you say, come here, Poindexter. And little Poindexter just kind of looks at you like, you know, or maybe they'll get right up close to mom, and you say, come here, little Poindexter, and your smile doesn't matter, your face doesn't matter, your Gucci Gucci Goos doesn't matter, but you reach in your pocket like Brother Click does, which makes every one of them love him, and you pull out a piece of candy, and you say, now Gucci Gucci Goo. By the way, you do that with our teenagers. I mean, they'll love you forever. And now you say, come here, Poindexter. Boy, point. Now, what are you doing? You're drawing them out. You're making it almost impossible for them to say no. Very, very rarely do you pull that candy out. That little child doesn't come running. You're coaxing them. You're drawing them. It's like a dog. You try to get a dog to come to you, and maybe it's stubborn like all cats are, but you call the dog and you say, here, Fido, come here, Fido. And Fido just kind of looks at you funny, but then you get a piece of meat. Isn't it amazing how their attitude totally changes? That's what the Bible means by the Father drawing us. What's that mean? It means he puts us in a situation where it'd be almost impossible to choose the wrong way. That's why it's so unbelievable when people do choose the wrong way. Because I know God in heaven is putting things together. He's putting the candy right in front of you. He's putting the meat right in front. He's putting that which you really want. He's putting you in a situation to see it. That's why when somebody's in prison, often they come to Christ because they have nowhere else to go. It's like, wow, I it took this. Yeah. It took that because of your own stubbornness. Yeah, it took that. You see, we still make the choice. But our Lord puts things together. Why did you have somebody knock on your door? Why did you have somebody come and invite you to church? Why did you get to work next to the person that came to Berea and they invited you? Why did you have somebody come and they saw you playing in the yard and they invited you to ride the bus? Why was it you? Why did that happen to you? Because God wanted you to have a choice, and he drew you so that you would make the right choice. Why are you sitting in church today with an opportunity to make a decision? Because God has made it so. And you know what? We need to thank God for the fact that he watches over everything. And in our lives, it's not a matter of heads or tails. It's not a matter of the roll of the dice. It's not a matter of how the spinner turns out. It's a matter of a God in heaven who's making things happen so that we can do what he wants us to do. And you know what? You're not here today by accident. You're here on purpose. Maybe you're here without Christ. You've never been saved. Jesus loves you. He died on a cross to pay for your sins. He'll save you today if you'll let him save you. He's brought you to this place so that you can be saved. Let's all bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. No one's looking around. No one's talking. I wonder if there's someone here today who would say, preacher, I've never been saved. If I died right now, I don't know if I'd go to heaven. I am not sure of eternity. I'm not sure of my salvation. Please pray for me. I do not know whether I'm saved. Anyone like that? Just raise your hand. Pray for me. I do not know whether I'm saved. How many Christians would say, preacher, God has spoken to my heart about some area of my life. God's dealing with me as a Christian. Please pray for me. Would you raise your hand all over, many, many hands. God bless you. Father, bless the invitation. Help us do what you want us to do. Continue to draw us, Lord. Continue to work in our lives. Thank you, God. Thank you for working in our lives. Bless the invitation. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. Turn to 276, where he leads. Where he leads me. If God's spoken to your heart today and you're not sure you're saved, we'll take a Bible. We'll show you how to be saved if you want to come. If you're a Christian and God's spoken to your heart, you know what? If nothing else, you could come and say, thank you, God, for how you've worked in my life. As we sing, you come.
I can hear my Savior calling. I can can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. Take thy cross and follow, follow me. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him, all the way.
Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Folks are praying here at the altar. If you have a decision you need to make today, you come. God's speaking to your heart. You say, I don't like what's going on in my life. You know what? You better realize there's a God in heaven that you are supposed to give thanks. In everything, give thanks. And if that lot did not land the way you wanted it to, then you need to know there's a God in heaven that has chosen it to be that way. How many times could Joseph have complained and griped and gotten bitter? But instead, God uses him in a great, great way. God wants to use you. God wants to bless you. Things don't just happen. There's a God in heaven in charge of everything. Where he leads me, I'll follow. Will you follow? Will you let him lead you? Would you let him lead you if it means a pit? Will you let him lead you if it means that you're going to be sold? I mean, it's easy to sing it, folks. But will you do it? Amen. Amen. I could not help but think, I don't remember what day, don't remember even how many years somebody could tell me that, but that's not what matters. My wife and I were going up to Mackinac Island. We had reserved a motel, and we were going to be there several days, and we got a phone call of the death, I believe it was Mrs. Ost, had died. And I didn't really know her, but she had been a member here for years, and they wanted us to come right back and do the funeral for Mrs. Ost. And so we left Mackinac Island, and we came back. And obviously, we were a little disappointed that we didn't get to spend that time. But we came back. We had the funeral for Mrs. Ost. And right after we came back from the cemetery, we were out in the parking lot, and Paula Key drove into the parking lot, and she was looking for a church. She was unsaved. She had no idea where to look, but she met us. She drove in just as we were getting out of our car, and we had a providential meeting. And Brenda said, let me show you our church. And she got her in here and got her in the auditorium and asked her if she died, did she know she'd go to heaven? And that's when Paula Key got saved. And not long after that, her husband, of course, he was in Iraq. He made some good decisions, and they were baptized. And here they are. After how many years? 5 years ago. And because God puts everything together. I've often thought, Will and Paula, I've often thought, what if 7 years? Okay, you can't add because you're too, I understand. But God knew that. And I've often thought, what if? What if I say to my wife, you know what? Let somebody else do that funeral, bless God. We're going to enjoy our vacation. But you know what? You just let God do what he does. Amen? Trust him. There's no reason for anybody to be bitter about anything. God is on the throne. All right, 4:30 ensemble, 5 o'clock, all the other practices.
After church, adult brass ensemble.
After the business meeting?
After business meeting.
adult brass ensemble after our business meeting tonight. So keep that in mind if you play a brass instrument. No 4 through 6 because of regionals and different practices there. Brother Don, close in prayer, please.
Father, we do thank you that you are in control of every circumstance of our lives. And Father, we ask now as you guide us and lead us, may we not question your guidance. May we not question your omnipotence and omniscience. Father, may we accept your will in every situation. And Lord, may we go into every situation as looking positively to see what you would have us to do, what opportunity you would have us to take to share the gospel with those around us, to demonstrate our faith in you as God of the universe. Lord, I pray that you would guide, bless and direct. Lord, your comforter be with the Raymond family this afternoon. Guide us and direct in our lives and make clear your presence and your Holy Spirit's power. Bring us together again safely this evening, we pray in Jesus' name.